It's a pleasure to be with all of you here this morning. Some of you are old friends from last night, and some are new this morning. But together we will begin a helpless prayer vigil here in the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area, and do something beautiful for God. I will explain at the homily the attitude that we should have in what we're going to do and the method we will do it. It is being used across the country and around the world. It's actually now, this approach is being used in the five continents of the world. And indeed, God is blessing it. God is blessing it. And when you do it, you'll know why He's blessing it. Why He's blessing it. But let us begin with the sign of our salvation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. My brothers and sisters, that we might better be prepared to enter into this mystery of God's love for us, let us briefly recall the times that we have not loved God enough and ask for His pardon and for His forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned through my own fault in my thoughts, in my words, what I've done, what I have failed to do. And I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, let your forgiveness be won for us by the pleading of Saint Agatha, who found favor with you by her chastity and by her courage in suffering death for the gospel. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, through Jesus, let us continually offer God the sacrifice of praise. That is, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. God is pleased by sacrifices of that kind. Obey your leaders and defer to them, for they keep watch over you and will have to give an account, that they may fulfill their task with joy and not with sorrow, for that would be of no advantage to you. May the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, Jesus our Lord, furnish you with all that is good, that you may do His will. May He carry out in you what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures He gives me repose. Beside restful waters He leads me. He refreshes my soul.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
He guides me in right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side, with your rod and your staff that give me courage.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while." And people were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. The people saw them leaving, and many came to know about it, and they hastened there on foot from all the towns, and they arrived at the place before them. And when Jesus disembarked, he saw the vast crowd, and his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord. Our late Holy Father John Paul II, in his great encyclical Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life, in the very beginning of that encyclical, he reminds us that the culture of death started in the Garden of Eden, that it was inspired by the devil. And the parents, our first parents, Adam and Eve, they listened to him when he said, "There are no limitations. You can do whatever you want. You can eat from that tree. If you do, God knows what will happen. You'll be just as knowledgeable and as powerful as God. He knows that. That's why he told you not to do it." And so they did. They found out it was a demonic lie. And into the world came death. Into the world came a disorder within ourselves. And their own children started to kill each other. Cain killed Abel. But in that same book of Genesis, in the very beginning, our Holy Father reminds us that God promised a culture of life. And he said the culture of life will come about when the woman and her son comes upon the face of the earth, and the son will crush the head of the serpent. And we in faith, we know the woman, her name is Mary, and the son is the Son of God, our beloved Jesus. And so if you try to establish a culture of life without the woman and her son, you're going to find out you're not going to accomplish it. And one of the difficulties we do have today, I mentioned last night, was that in 1967, I said to the people because in 1970 in New York State is when we legalized abortion, and in 1967, I was trying to stop the legalization of abortion in New York City, New York State. And I told the people, they're trying to change the law to allow the child in the womb to be killed. And after the Mass, I went down to the back of the church, and people came to me and said, "Father, are you okay? Are you okay? What are you saying?" They said, "There's no way you could possibly change the law to allow the children in the womb to be killed. This is America. This is America." And 20 years later, I gave a talk and I said to the people, "We have to change the law to protect the children in the womb." And after the Mass, the people came up to me and said, "Father, are you okay? There's no way you could change the law that would protect all the children in the womb. This is America." Then it hit me. Well, our Holy Father was saying Evangelium Vitae. He said, we have come from a culture of life where it was unthinkable that the little child in the womb would not be loved and secure and at peace, to a culture of death where it's the law that allows the child to be killed. So we have in America today not a need only to change the law, we need to change hearts, we need to change the minds, we need to change the culture, if we're going to have laws that people will respect and follow. And to change the hearts, to change the minds, you can't do that, I can't do that, only God can. But we know that, as in this morning's gospel, Jesus is the good shepherd. And he was moved with compassion for us, his sheep. And he knows that the people today are in darkness. They're in this culture of death. And this is incredibly important. I stressed it last time, but I do it again this morning. That when we go today, it's not two sides. It's not like you're pro-life, they're pro-abortion, pro-choice, pro-life ones. No, there are no two sides here. Get that out of your mind. The reality is this, that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he loves the woman going this morning to have an abortion. He doesn't love the abortion, but he loves the woman. The abortionist, he wants their salvation. And people might even protest, he wants their change of heart. That's the reality of it. That when the whole world was in this broken stage as a result of that original sin, we were all helpless. We couldn't put ourselves, it's like a dish, it falls on the ground into 1,000 pieces. It can't put itself together. Someone outside has to put it together. And so the whole human condition was in this helpless state. And because it was in this helpless state, we needed someone to come from outside of it, to come into the world, and to bring about a change. A change. I mentioned that sometimes women will say to me, Father, I had an abortion. Would God ever love me again? And I say, Mom, you got the wrong question here. God is not changeable like us. God does not see change as a result of imperfection. Change as a result of living in time where you're not yet everything you ought to be, and so growing in perfection. So we have a past, a present, and a future. But God is beyond change. God is perfection. God is the fullness of life and of mercy and of wisdom and of love. God is the eternal now. I am, says God. I am. Before Abraham came to be, I am. There's no change in God. God is. And the fact is, I said to her, Mother, a God never stop loving you. God doesn't change. You don't have to convince God, if you do something wrong, will you love me again? Almighty God created you, my friend, because he loves you. And when we were in a state of helplessness, he died for us. He rose from the dead for us. He shed his precious blood for us because he loves us. God's love is everlasting. It is we who become enemies of God. It is we who need to change. The question in my sense is not, will God love you again, Mother? No. The question is, God is waiting for you to love God again. That's the question. Will you love God? And will you change all the things that brought you to this spot? That's what we're asking about. But I stress that because your job this morning is to make present this unconditional, everlasting love of God to a world that is in this culture of death, to a world that is in darkness. The last thing Jesus said was, I give you a new commandment, and the commandment is this, I want you to love your enemies. Love your enemies? Oh, yes. You see, Peter, John, Matthew, I am going to show you how to do this. You see, because I am going to go out to a hill called Golgotha, to Calvary, and I'm going to lay down my life for the people who are going to put me to death. You're what? Yes. That's why I came. And when they experience such a love, it's going to change their hearts. They're going to come back to God. And I'm going to obtain the graces for them to come back, to come back. And so the last commandment God says is, the way you can tell a Christian is the Christian is someone who loves the other even when the other does not love them. Oh, it's easy to love those that love us, to be humanitarians, but you're not a humanitarian. You're not a person practicing practical social charity. You're not. You're a Christian. And a Christian is to change the world by bringing to the world a love that is not of this world, a love that is of God. And so our job is to love the enemy. Where there's darkness, we are to bring light. Where there's hate, we are to bring love. Where there's death, we bring the life. Where there's error, we bring the truth. Where there's hopelessness, we bring hope, forgiveness. But to do that, we cannot do that. That's beyond us. God says, I know. But I'm going to give you the gift of what we call charity. Charity is a power. See, all the virtues are powers that enable us to do things. Chastity is a power to use our sexuality according to God's design. Temperance is to use the things of this world temperately. But the power of love, the power of charity, is where you are able to love the other that is not lovable. And that's the only thing that will change people. You see, darkness, you go to the darkness and you curse it, more darkness. You go with anger, more anger. What will change people? Only experiencing this incredible love of God for them in their sinful condition. And we have to do that. We say, Jesus, we can't. It's beyond our power. I know that. But this morning, I'm going to teach you something. As our Blessed Mother, when I first came to this world, I asked her for permission. I said, Mary, I sent my angel to her, Gabriel, may I live within you? And she said, Fiat, yes. And the word took flesh. And then I said to Mary, Mary, will you give me to the world? She said, yes. And she gave her son at Calvary to the world. And this morning, Jesus says to you, may I live within you. Why? Because I love you. I, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And you say, yes. It's called Holy Communion. But after we receive Holy Communion, God says, I want another permission from you. See, in my risen body, I still want to do the work of my Father. And the work of my Father, you know, on earth, I kept telling, I want to go to Calvary. I have a baptism of blood that I have to offer. I want to go there out of love for the world to redeem it. And I still want to go to Calvary today. And where is Calvary today? Where is the modern day Calvary? It's a place where it's midnight at midday. It's a place where innocent blood is being shed. It's a place where people have totally lost the sense of God and the sacredness of life, where all the laws that we keep passing seem so harmless but have their full implication. It's where there's two victims. There's a victim of the mother and the child, and the people working there, and the people caught into this culture of death. They're the ones that need Jesus Christ. And so he says this morning, I ask another permission of you. After you come and you receive me in the Eucharist, I want to go to Calvary. I want to go with this midnight at midday because they need me. Will you allow me through you, my body, the church, to continue my work here on earth? See, to be a Christian is not to do something Jesus did 2,000 years ago. That's not the mystery. The mystery is Jesus, the risen Christ, through his mystical body, the church, continues to do today what he did 2,000 years ago. We say, why doesn't God do this? Why God? Well, God does it through us. He does it through us. Why don't you do it? Don't you know? I need you. I need you to accomplish and continue to complete the work the Father gave me to do. I am the good shepherd. You bring the good shepherd today. I have compassion on these people. I want you to manifest that. And so when we go, we must go with love in our hearts. We must go with the same mentality and mind and heart of God and Mary and John at the foot of the cross. If we are to be effective, we don't go there in self-righteousness. We don't go there to condemn. We don't go there to tell them. This is the truth and you are in error. No, we go there to bring them from darkness to light. To bring them from the culture of death to the culture of life. And when they experience it, people say, why are you here? Are you being paid? No. Why do you not respond in like when they curse you and you do not say anything? You pray and you sing through the thing. But eventually, what makes you, well, you then indicate to them, well, you know, there is a person called Jesus. He came into the world many, many years ago, but he's still with us. He's still with us. He's what we call the Eucharist. And when you take the Eucharist, you too will be able to act like Jesus, or Jesus through you. You become a Christian. See, the world needs Christians, witnesses, martyrs. Not necessarily bloody martyrs, just Christians. They have to meet Christ. They have to meet people that truly love the other, that are there in compassion and understanding and love. Right? And so what we do this morning is rather simple. Because there's a distance between here and the abortion we're going to pray outside of. At the end of the Mass, the Blessed Sacrament will be exposed, and in a few minutes, I will go down to the back of the church and change, and I come back here, and we'll start the rosary in the presence of Jesus here before us in the Eucharist. And he says, now go. Go. I have been a victim for you, and I made my victimhood present in this Eucharist, but now it's your turn to live out the Mass, to be a victim with Christ. That's what it means, to be a victim with Christ. But it's through you now that I want to go to Calvary today. And so at the end of the Mass, then, we will start the rosary. And after we start the rosary, I'll go down the center aisle of the church. And from the first rows, people just file out behind me. And because there's a distance, what we simply do is this. We ask the people to go to their cars, and even carpool. And you maintain from the beginning of this Mass until the closing benediction, there's no talking unless it's necessary. Our conversation is with God and our Blessed Lady. Not to the people, no one. There's no talking. And so what we do, we will go to the cars, and I say to the people, someone in the car, just in conversational level, leads the Hail Marys, the Rosary, until we get to the place, you receive a sheet that says where we are going to park the cars. It'd be a little bit of a distance from the abortion mill. We all park the cars, and in silence, we gather at the site, at the spot, say 43rd and 3rd, where we're going to start the vigil from in prayer. When the people line up, we have what we call walkie-talkies and song sheets. Everybody receives a song sheet. In between going to the site, we're going to say the joyful mysteries of the rosary and sing a hymn between each of the mysteries of the rosary. And then at the site, we will say the sorrowful mysteries and the glorious mysteries. Before the final hymn and prayer at the site, we'll have 1 minute of absolute silence. Either standing, kneeling, or genuflecting, absolute silence, asking God for mercy, mercy, mercy. And then we pray and song, we do the luminous mysteries as we walk back to the cars. You get into the cars in silence, drive back here to the church, and we'll have closing benediction. And then the vigil is complete. Rather simple, rather profound. It's important that everybody maintain a discipline of fasting from speaking. Fasting from speaking. One of the most difficult fasts, you see, to tell people, shut your mouth. Your conversation must be with God. Turn off your iPods, turn off everything, your earphones, turn off it, and just concentrate, let your conversation be with God. Right? And so when we come back, and so it's rather simple. It's rather profound. And then after we do the prayer vigil, we have a follow-up prayerful presence, the whole thing of sidewalk counseling, which we will do a workshop to show you how to do that. After the Mass is finished, a brief time to get a bite to eat, and from 12 to 3 we'll have the workshop, and then after that I go catch a plane back to New York. See, because you don't need me. I don't come to give a talk. I come to teach people how to fish. And leave behind my fishing reel, my rod, my bait, everything. And then when I leave, you go fishing. Okay? You go fishing. And I come back, and it's rather humbling. I find people catching bigger fish than I. See? God uses you. That's what it's going to be. See? So it's not a matter of a speaker coming in and telling you how bad things are. If you didn't know they were before, then you leave more depressed. But no, I come and I tell you how to bring light to the world, how to make things better. Right? So when we go to where it's midnight at midday, we're bringing light. we're bringing Jesus. And people's hearts are touched. Trust me. I pray outside the abortion clinics every day. We do prayer vigils all over the world. Take my word for it. They close. People's hearts are changed. And when will your prayers be effective? You leave that in God's hands. You leave that in God's hands. Okay? And how and when will the prayers be used that we say today? That's God. We're just handing. Oh, we're not praying at somebody. We're not praying to be seen. We're not a picture photo opportunity. We're really going in prayer and taking God serious. We're praying to God. And we're sending our prayers up to God. And let God pour down His graces all over this world upon whomever He wishes. You see? And so that let Him change their hearts. And they do. Absolutely amazing. See, once you really take God serious, this culture doesn't stand a chance. It will give way. See? But we do have to give God permission. And so what we do in a few minutes, we'll offer the blood of Jesus to the Eternal Father in reparation for the sins of the world. And we'll ask God to come to us first and change us and make us abide within us. And He does because He loves us. And to give us the courage, the charity, the grace to bring Jesus to the world. And in Christ and with Christ and with our Blessed Lady will show us where Jesus wants to go. That's why Our Lady Guadalupe leads us, the picture. She brings us to where her son Jesus wants to go today. It's still to Golgotha, to Calvary. Do you want to save babies? Of course you do. But you really can't save the babies unless you change the hearts. Because before a child is physically aborted, it's spiritually aborted. And if you don't change the heart, you're not going to save this child. You could delay it, stall it, but you're not going to save it. It's when the hearts are opened of grandma, of the parents, of the mother, and everybody's willing to sacrifice and embrace and take into their lives this new member of God's family, then the child is saved. And only God changes the hearts. But through our prayer and penance and sacrifice, God will give the grace to do so. Right? So that's what we do. Okay? So we go then this morning in and with Christ, letting our Blessed Lady lead the way, as usual, to Calvary. And we go there with the mindset and the heart of Mary and John at the foot of the cross. As I mentioned last night, as the closing remarks here this morning, is that sometimes we imagine Jesus by artists depicting Jesus as dying alone, abandoned, hanging on the cross, which to a certain extent he did experience that within himself, but it's not true, totally not true in terms of what is the result here. See, he prayed the psalm, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But if you read that psalm, it ends up in hope. It ends up in hope. He always prayed the psalms. But he did not die alone. He did not die without people loving him, suffering with him, praying with him. Because when he looked down from the cross, what did he see? He saw Mary, his mother. He saw John, his beloved disciple. He saw Mary Magdalene, who loved him deeply. He saw the women. And they were there loving Jesus. They were there praying with Jesus. They were there suffering with Jesus. That's why Mary and John did not have to suffer bloody martyrdom. Martyrdom is what happens within, not externally. And so Mary is the queen of martyrs. She never shed her precious blood. John is the only of the apostles who wasn't crucified. Because they already were at Calvary. They already went through the experience. And so the unborn children, you see, they should not die alone. It's a very short time they have here on earth, but it's incredibly important that they die with someone recognizing their existence. And that's what you do today. When you stand outside the place, you are expressing by your presence that you are one with the victim. You're one with the unborn. You're making it present. And when you're praying, you're making God presence, God's precious infants. But the unborn children, when they die, they should die with someone recognizing their existence, someone suffering with them, someone loving them to the very end. And may I close by simply saying this, someday you and I too will die. And we will have to go to God and give an account of what we did with our lives. But you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a lot of unborn children at the gate. And they're going to say, these are my friends, God, let them in. Although I was a very short period of time here on earth, you know that, Jesus. These people recognized that I existed. These people suffered with me. These people loved me and prayed for me. These are my friends. Jesus, let them in. And he will. And there's no finer gift you could have than eternal life with the God who made you and redeemed you and loved you. And so it is that attitude and spirit now we will continue to offer this Mass. And know that you not only are saving the children, but in the long run, you're saving your own soul. Let us pray for our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, for all bishops and priests, that they may have the courage to proclaim the sacredness of life and witness to it. Let us pray to the Lord. For the God's people, especially those involved in the cause of life, that God will bless their efforts abundantly and bring graces upon them and their families. Let us pray to the Lord. For all the suffering, the sick and the dying, those who care for and those belong to them, let us pray to the Lord. For all the suffering souls in purgatory, that God will grant them eternal rest, let us pray to the Lord. For peace in the world and reverence for life and conception unto natural death, let us pray to the Lord. For all those who have requested our prayers, those we said we would pray for, and for our own particular intentions, let us pray to the Lord. Loving Father, moved by the Holy Spirit, we ask that you grant these petitions as always through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this bread to offer, which earth has given and human hands have made. It will become for us the bread of life. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this wine to offer, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become our spiritual drink. Lord God, we ask you to receive us and be pleased with the sacrifice we offer you with humble and contrite hearts. Lord, wash away my iniquities, cleanse me from all my sins. We pray, my brothers and sisters, that our sacrifice may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty. Amen. Lord, bless our offerings and make them holy. May these gifts fill our hearts with the love which gave St. Agatha victory over all her sufferings. We ask this through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, all-powerful, ever-living God, we do well always, everywhere, to give you thanks. Your holy martyr, Agatha, followed the example of Christ, and she gave her life for the glory of your name. Her death reveals your power shining through our human weakness. You choose the weak and you make them strong and bearing witness to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. In our unending joy, we echo on earth the song of the angels in heaven as they praise your glory forever. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the fountain of all holiness. Let your Spirit come upon these gifts to make them holy, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before he was given up to death, a death he freely accepted, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." When supper was ended, he took the cup. Again he gave you thanks and praise, gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. In memory of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Father, this life-giving bread, this saving cup. We thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. May all of us who share in the body and the blood of Christ be brought together in unity by the Holy Spirit.
Lord, remember your church throughout the world. Make us grow in love together with Benedict our Pope, Thomas our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember our brothers and sisters who have gone to their rest in the hope of rising again, especially the unborn killed through abortion. Bring them and all the departed into the light of your presence. Have mercy on us all. Make us worthy to share eternal life with Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, with the Apostles, St. Agatha, and with all the saints who have done your will throughout the ages. May we praise you in union with them and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Let us pray now with great confidence to our Father in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, from every evil. Grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin and protect us from all anxiety as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "I leave you peace, my peace I give you. Look not upon our sins, but upon the faith of your church. And grant us the peace and unity of your kingdom, where you live forever and ever. May the peace of the Lord be with you always. Please extend to each other the peace of Christ. Peace of Christ be with you, Father. God bless you, Father. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, grant us peace. Behold Jesus, the Son of the Eternal Father, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, blessed indeed are we who are called to share in this meal. Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but I say the word and my soul shall be healed. May the body of Christ bring us to life everlasting. May the blood of Christ bring us to life everlasting. In the body of Christ. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must renounce himself, take up his cross, and follow me, says the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, may the mysteries we receive give us the spiritual courage which made your martyr, St. Agatha, faithful in your service and victorious in her sufferings. Grant us in the name of Jesus the Lord. Thank you, Father Eric. We will be back a little bit sooner. Okay. Whereas the time that we leave and pray at the place and come back, it's 9 o'clock now. We should be back about 10:15, 10:30. And we'll come back here to have the closing benediction. See, the people, especially those who cannot walk, you know, have difficulty, that if you stay in and do adoration until we return, and it's beautiful. It enables you to be fully part of the vigil itself, okay? But what we will do is, after the closing benediction, we'll expose the Blessed Sacrament, and then after a few brief moments, I'm going to go down to the sacristy in the back, change, and then I'll come back here and begin the rosary, and they will walk out, and you go, as I say, and you can carpool. You don't have to bring all the cars, and go to the site where, make sure you have the piece of paper from Mr. Walsh that has the directions from here to where we're going to park the cars. And then leave the cars in silence. Come to the spot inside, and we'll distribute the song sheets to you there and distribute the walkie-talkies. And in prayer and song, we go to the site, we pray at the site, come back in prayer to the cars, and then drive back here in silence and come back into the church, and we'll have the closing benediction. That'd be the closing of the prayer vigil itself. Okay? It's rather simple. It's rather profound. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Mass is ended. Let's go forth in the peace and love of Jesus Christ.
Thanks.
If you please kneel.
O salutaris hostia, quae caeli pandis ostium, bella praemunt hostilia, darabo fer auxilium, uni trino quae domina, sit sempi tena gloria, qui vintans in etemino, nobis danet in patria.